Today's shiur is Masechet Ksubos Daf Tzadik Zayin. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph, the top line, Ketzad Mocheres. As we learned in the previous shiur, a woman who nebuch becomes an almona is still entitled to mezainis, to be supported from her husband's estate. And if the yosaimim, if the yarshim of that estate don't properly support her, so she could take the assets of those yosaimim and sell them for her support. So the Gemara asks, Ketzad Mocheres, exactly how could she sell it? And as the Rishonim explained the Gemara's question, there's a lot of property there, as we've discussed also. Medina the Gemara, she only has a lien on real estate, not on the Talton. And the Gemara's question is, how much property could she go sell? Could she sell property that will give her support for 10 years, for longer, for less? And as the Rishonim explained, because the Gemara is concerned that she's taking this support, but she may get remarried, and once she gets remarried, she's not entitled to the support. She may ask for the payout of the ksuba. Once she gets the payout of the ksuba, she's not entitled to the support. She may die. Certainly then she's not entitled to support. On the other hand, to go sell every day a small piece of property is unreasonable. It's unfair to her. The Rishonim point out, kol kfud basmel panima, it's inappropriate to have a Jewish woman required to do this. Moreover, it's difficult to sell small, very small parcels of land. So the Gemara wants to know, what is the formula? How much can she sell? Amar Rav Daniel bar Katina, Amar Rav Huna, Mecheres Achsa Shnei Masa Chodesh. She sells enough real estate that will give her support for a year. However, even though she sold a year's worth of support, she doesn't take that entire amount. She only gets it in monthly installments. And Ritva makes a number of points in explaining this Gemara. One, he says, our Gemara is referring to a situation where she is herself selling those assets. But if she's working through Beis Din, then Beis Din does as they see fit. And if Beis Din sees that it's smarter to sell for a longer term, they'll sell for a longer term. If they see that the real estate market is low and you don't want to sell property now, they'll sell for a shorter term. Moreover, I saw that the Mefarshim point out, another observation can be made based on this Gemara. As we said a moment ago, the Yosaimim have to support the woman. And the question is, how do those payments work? Do they give her payment every day? So the Mefarshim say, that's terribly embarrassing to the woman, that every day she should have to get payment. And therefore they say, our Gemara is teaching us that it's once every 30 days. A woman who's being supported off the estate of her husband in order to avoid this embarrassment that she's living off other people, we ask them to give her payment once every 30 days, which will limit the embarrassment. Yehuda disagrees with Rav Huna, and he says, Mecheres l'shisha chadashim, she sells enough property for 6 months, v'lekech mefanes ach shloshim yoyim, but he too agrees she gets an installment on a monthly basis. Says the Gemara, Tanya kavosei Rav Huna, there's a braisa that corroborates Rav Huna's opinion, Mecheres l'shnei mesuchad, she sells enough property for 12 months, v'lekech mefanes ach shloshim yoyim, and every 30 days she gets a payment. On the other hand, there's a braisa that corroborates Rav Yehuda's opinion, Tanya kavosei Rav Yehuda, Mecheres l'shisha chadashim, so Amema says, Hilchasa, what is the halach l'maisa? Mecheres l'shisha chadashim. She sells enough for support of 6 months. But she gets paid on a monthly basis. Omle of Ashi l'Amema. So if Ashi asks l'Amema, Rav Huna mai. And what about Rav Huna's opinion? That he says that you sell for 12 months. Omle l'shmili. I never heard Rav Huna's opinion. And says, well, what that means, I don't agree with Rav Huna. So Mefarshim asks an obvious question. Throughout Shas, we have many times machloikis between Amoraim. And then the Gemara says, Hilchasa, the halach is like one Amora, one Tana. And we don't typically find that the Gemara is saying, what about the other opinion? That's what happens. You have two opinions, and they pass like one opinion. Why is the Gemara saying we're passing like Rabbi Yehuda, and all of a sudden the Gemara asks him, what are you going to do with Rav Huna? So Mefarshim answer, the Rav Huna was the Rebbe of Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, typically, in a machloikis of Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, we follow the opinion of Rav Huna, not Rav Yehuda. Therefore, in this situation, where a Maimer chose to follow the opinion of Rav Yehuda over Rav Huna, it was difficult to understand to the Talmidim, why are you picking Rav Yehuda? So he says, in this situation, like severely, I don't agree with Rav Huna, I hold that Rav Yehuda is correct. Says the Gemara, Bamine Rav Sheshes, Mecheres Mezoinis, Masha Tachsev Titrev Leksuba. Word of introduction. As we said in the previous year, there's a very fundamental difference in how a woman could collect her Mezoinis payments versus how she could collect her Ksuba payment. Mezoinis payment, she's entitled, but she can't go to Lekuchas. If the husband or the Yisoimim had sold off parts of the real estate, and now she wants to get her Mezoinis, and they don't have where to pay from, she can't go to the Lekuchas. For the Ksuba, she can go to the Lekuchas. And it's worth reviewing why. Is there a difference? The answer is very simple. It's the basis of any title search, of buying real estate. If I buy from you a piece of property, and we do a title search, and we see that you have a previous mortgage on it, or you have previous debts, so I now have a way of judging, is this a transaction I want to enter or not? Meaning, I'm buying this piece of property for you for whatever amount of money, and I know that you have this debt that's worth this and this much, and I know I have possible exposure that those debtors, those creditors, may come to this piece of property to take that value. And I walk in making a decision, a knowledgeable decision. That's a ksuba, because a ksuba has a fixed value. So I know that how much of a mortgage, how much of a lien is there because of the ksuba. Mezoinis is not a fixed number. There are so many variables that go into making up that number. The question is, how long will the wife live after the husband died? The question is, how much does she need to eat? The question is, what is the price of food? So many variables. So therefore, because it's a number that can't be fixed, Chazal said we can't go to the Lekuchas. So what happened in the Gemara that we're discussing is very interesting situation. This woman, as we began today's shiur, is selling off pieces of her husband's estate for mezoinis. The ksuba mortgage still exists. And the Gemara's question now is, she sold off a piece of property to get the mezoinis. Now she wants to get a ksuba payment. Could she go back to the person that she sold the piece of property to and say, now I'm taking it back because I'm taking it because there's a mortgage on it for my ksuba? And as we understand, the Gemara's question is that if there's a mortgage on a piece of property, that's what happens when you buy a piece of property. But that's if you're going to pay someone else. To pay the actual person, that the actual person who sold it to you could come then and collect it back, it's like, to use a common terminology, it looks like double dipping. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, what is the halacha? Actually, there's an interesting machloikas rishonim, how far to take this Gemara shaila. What would be the halacha? Let's say a woman has a ksuba that's worth $10,000. So she sells off a piece of property to get a ksuba payment, and that piece of property she sold for $5,000. So now some rishonim say that the Gemara's question could be, could she now sell that piece of property, get the $5,000, and then go back to the person she sold it to and say, I'm taking it back because there's a mortgage on it for another $5,000. So some rishonim say the Gemara could have discussed that shaila also. The reason the Gemara doesn't mention that shaila is because we began the shiur with mezoinis, so Gemara phrases its question regarding mezoinis. Other rishonim say that that's certainly unacceptable. To go sell the property for ksuba and then take it back for a further ksuba payment, nobody would expect that that should be acceptable. So now the Gemara asks again, she sold a piece of property to be able to get mezoinis payment. Could she go reclaim that property for a ksuba payment? says the Gemara, Kabai v'lay b'drav Yosef. This is actually an issue that was addressed by Rabbi Yosef. Dom Rabbi Yosef, Amalta de Zovin, if an Amona sells off assets of the assignment, Achrayi Sayasmi, the responsibility still remains with the assignment. Similarly, Beidina de Zovin, if a Bezdin sells assets of the assignment, Achrayis Ayasmi. And as the Achrayim explain, interesting perspective. We are used to understanding Achrayis as a personal obligation. If I sell you a piece of property, and I sell it with Achrayis, what I'm essentially saying to you is that if something should occur that will make that you should lose that piece of property, I'm responsible. If you look at it that way, it's a relationship between the buyer and the seller. So in this case, who's the person that sold the property? The woman. Teach us the Mefarshim. And they said that's what our Gemara is teaching us. The Achrayis is not attached to an individual. The Achrayis is attached to the property. And therefore, since it's the Yosaimim's property, even though they weren't the actual people who sold this property, it was the woman, it was the wife that sold it, Amana, it was Bezdin, that doesn't mean that the Achrayis is not on the assignment. Kivin the Achrayis Ayasmi. So since we're putting the Achrayis on the assignment, Tarfa, so therefore she may go back and take this property, Adima Matzer Amalei, it could be, as we explained earlier, the people who bought this property from her could tell her, Ne the Achrayis the Alma Lekibeltelach, that you're not held responsible if this piece of property is taken away from us. However, Achrayis the Nafshach, me, like a Bela Kabels, you who sold this property, that much responsibility you have, that you shouldn't be able to take it away from us. Amala, and he responded to Nesua. Actually, we learned this in a Braisa, because the Braisa says, Mecheres Feileches Ad Kdek Subasa. If the Yosaimim have assets, she's selling off those assets for her Mezainis. So the Braisa says she can continue selling those assets until she's left with a balance equal to Ksuba. The Samachlat should take the Ksubas Meshar. When all the Yosaimim have left is just the value of the Ksuba, she should collect that as the Ksuba payment. Shmamina. So from here we see, says the Gemara, Shire in, Loi Shire Loi. If the halach would be, suggests the Gemara, that even what she sold for Mezainis, she could reclaim for Ksuba, so why is the Braisa limiting her not to sell the amount that's equal to the Ksuba? Let her keep on selling and take it back. It must be because what was sold for Mezainis cannot be reclaimed by the woman for her Ksuba. Ask the Gemara, who says to explain the Braisa that way? But Dilma, it's a type of Kamash Malon. Maybe what the Braisa is teaching us is, it's giving us advice that the woman, it's inappropriate for the Amana to do this, sell it, and then take it back, because the Lelikarala Hadrunasa, a person who does this, sells a piece of property, and then turns around to the buyer and reclaims it, doesn't add to your good reputation. And that's why the Braisa says she shouldn't do it, not because it's halachically unacceptable. So I saw a very interesting observation from Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says he doesn't understand the Gemara's approach here. He says, what is the definition of an Eitza Toiva? What's good advice? Good advice, he says, means that I have two options. I have a situation, and I have a number of options how to deal with the situation. Eitza Toiva means that I go to somebody, and he gives me good advice. This is the best of your options. He says, here the woman has no other option. She has no other way of reclaiming all the money she's owed. So how do you call that an Eitza Toiva? There's no other option. It's not the best, good Eitza. There's no other Eitza. Says the Gemara. Im Kain, says the Gemara, if all the Braisa was just offering good advice, listen to Goivik Subasa Menashar. The Braisa say, yes, she should not sell and reclaim. The fact that the Braisa uses it, Samachla, that she could only rely on assets that weren't sold by her, is a proof that she halachically cannot reclaim those assets. Shmamino. Shira in, only because she never sold them, could she take those assets as a super payment? Loi shira loi, otherwise she cannot. Ask the Gemara interesting Shaila, which really is not related to our sugya, but is a very fascinating discussion. typically, and the Mefarshim explain, and we'll speak about this a little while or more, people are reluctant to sell off real estate. People sell real estate only because they have to. They need the strap for the cash. So now ask the Gemara. I sold real estate because I thought I'm going to need the money for whatever reason. And the Gemara is going to give some examples in a moment. And then it turns out that that need isn't here. So if that's the case, I would have never sold the property. Can I renege on the deal? And as Rashi and Tosfos explain, what is the chiddush of this Gemara? We know that throughout Shas, there's a rule, dvarim shebelev ein dvarim. If I thought of something, I meant to say it, I thought about it, doesn't mean anything. So here, when I sold you this piece of property, I didn't tell you that I'm selling it because I need the cash. And if I won't need the cash, the deal is off. I just sold it. But as Rashi explains, everybody knows that this is the reason I'm selling the property, because I need the cash for a specific reason. Tosfos is not as lenient as Rashi, because according to Rashi, I didn't have to say anything. The fact that everybody is aware that these were the circumstances why I'm selling this property, that is enough of a reason to allow me to perhaps renege on the deal. Tosfos doesn't agree with Rashi. Tosfos says the fact that everybody knows and I didn't say anything, that's really Dvarim Shebelev. But Tosfos says the Gemara is referring to a situation. I did express the situation, but we know that when you make a condition, many times in Shas we learned, Tanai B'nai Gadab B'nai Ruvain, there are different rules to Tanoim that it should be considered a valid stipulation. Here I just expressed the situation, but not halachically, in a halachically proper manner. And the question is, but since it's obvious and well known that this was the basis for me entering this transaction, if those circumstances can change, can the seller back out of the deal? Abiyalu, Zovin, if I sold something on the expectation that I needed the money, and then that situation changes and I don't need the cash, Hadrizvini or Lohadrizvini, can I renege on the deal or not? Toshma, that who gave the zovin aru rapapa? There was a person that sold a piece of property to rapapa. The itzruchlei zuzi lemizben turi. He needed the cash so he could buy oxen. Opportunity came up and buy axes, and he needed it. Lesoif leitzruchlei, and then he didn't need the axe. Vehedrinele rapapa laare. So the circumstances changed, and we see rapapa let him back out of the deal. So we see that if the circumstances change, the deal is off. Says the one, there's no raya from there. Because Rapapa was the great Rapapa. And he didn't want to force the seller into a situation. And that's why he willingly backed out. But we don't have a raya what the halach is. This is only Lefnim Mishur Sadin. Toshmas of Gemara attempts to bring a raya from this case. The Hubit sorted the Havab in Hadar. There was a hunger in the Hadar. And people were desperate for food. Zivninu kul am leftanayu. And people in their desperation for food sold their mansions. Wealthy people who owned mansions sold their mansions. Then there was a shipment of food that came in, and the shortage and the high prices were no longer there. Amler of Nachman, Dinuhu, the Hadri of Fadna Lamarayu. The halach is that the deal is off, they get back their mansions. So we see that if the circumstances which the deal was made aren't there, the deal is off. So tomorrow there, it's something else. Hosam nami zvina b'tos hava. It wasn't, and as Mefarshim explained, there are two concepts that we should not confuse. There's a concept of mekach tos, and then there's a concept of changing my mind. Mekach tos and hodri zvini are not the same. Mekach tos is there's a mistake made. That means the circumstances in place while the transaction was taking place were made under false pretenses or mistaken pretenses. That's the case there. I'm selling my mansion because I'm never desperate for food and the price of food is astronomical. And I'm not aware that as I'm selling you this mansion to be able to get this money for my food, there's a big shipment of wheat on the way. And it only got stuck, as the Gemara says, The Arba Kulav Kaimer. The boat got stuck and got delayed. That's a Mekach Tos. That everybody agrees that a Mekach Tos is not a transaction. The question that we're discussing is that when the transaction was taking place, it was a legitimate transaction. Let's use Rav Papa's case. When this person was selling his property to Rav Papa because he expected to buy oxen, he truly expected to buy oxen. The oxen were here and the property was here. After the transaction took place, the circumstances changed. That's not the same thing. And that we can't prove from that case. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi, Hainu the Amalei, Rami Bachet, Rav Shmuel, Rav Nachman. If the situation only changes after the deal, certainly this is what Rami Bachet Shmuel said. If the halach is that if the circumstances change, we could back out of a deal, so nobody's ever going to want to enter a deal, because you could never know that it's going to stick. So he said, you can't ask that question. This was a not a regular situation. It was a hunger time. And there's always a hunger, and therefore, this is something that should recognize. However, says the Gemara, if somebody sold property on the expectation that he's going to need the cash, and then it turns out that he doesn't, the deal is off. So the Rishonim make a number of important observations in learning the Gemara. Typically in Chas, they say, we're concerned for the welfare of the buyer. Here, we're not referring to the welfare of the buyer. Here, we're referring to the welfare of the seller. That's one observation that they make. Another observation they make is that there's a nafka mina between when one sells property and when one sells metaltlin. When one sells property, the Gemara we just learned is applicable, that if the circumstances change, we could back out of the deal. When one sells metaltlin, you can't back out even if the circumstances change. And I saw two explanations in the Mefarshim why are metaltlin different than karka. One explanation we actually said when we learned the Gemara, and that is karka, people typically don't like to sell their real estate. They only sell it because they're under duress, that they need the money. Metaltlin, people are quicker to sell. And therefore, we say that a sale of metaltlin is always considered final. Another difference that the Ktzais explains is that nobody really has ever full possession of karka. Because karka, you can't put karka into your pocket. You can't put property into your pocket. On the other hand, metaltlin is something that you could have full possession of. And therefore, the sale of metaltlin is stronger and therefore more final than the sale of karka. So it's interesting that this shaila about being able to back out of sale is a very interesting halach lemaisa. I'll say over two interesting shailas that I saw. The first shaila is a difficult shaila to repeat. In Israel, many times when people get engaged, the two sets of parents agree to buy an apartment for the young couple. So the situation in Israel, Reuven and Shimon became muchatanim. Their children are going to get married. And they agreed that they would together buy an apartment for this young couple. Reuven lived in a very nice apartment in a very expensive neighborhood. He didn't really have any money. But what don't you do for your children? He went and he sold his apartment. And in fact, when he was dealing with the buyer asked, why are you selling? And he told him the truth. I'm selling the apartment because I'm marrying off my child and I need the money. I have no other assets. And he sold his apartment on that basis. He really didn't want to. Then it comes closer to the time of the Chasana. And Reuven, who sold his apartment to have money, calls his Mechutin Shimon. We got to go buy an apartment for our children. So Shimon says, I have no money. I can't contribute anything. So now Reuven goes back to the buyer, and they agree the children are not getting an apartment. So now Reuven goes back to Shimon, and Reuven goes back to his buyer, and tells his buyer, I learned the Daf Yomi. This sale was done for a specific reason. And the reason, and I even explained the reason to you, and therefore, I should be able to back out of the deal. What's the halacha? So Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein says a very interesting concept. He says we can't just apply this Gemara to every situation and say that circumstances change, I could back out of a deal. He says in a situation where a person did not do due diligence and did not really review the situation and therefore entered into a deal that he shouldn't have, you can't fault the buyer. That means Reuven, when he became a mechutn with Shimon, says Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, should have really checked does Shimon have the ability to buy an apartment for his children. And he would have quickly discovered that Shimon has no ability to do that. Now Reuven didn't do that, and now he wants to back out of a deal. It's too late. And actually, there's a tshuva from Rav Shlomo Afandri, the Saba Kadisha. He has a very similar shaila. There was a situation where there were two individuals, again, Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven comes over to Shimon and says, let's go into a certain business venture. Shimon doesn't really have any liquid cash, but he has money tied up in CDs. And we know that if you break a CD, if you open up the money from a CD before its maturity, you have to pay serious penalty. But this was a wonderful opportunity, and he made a calculation that's worth getting his money, even though he'll have to pay the penalty, but that he should be able to enter this business deal. And Shimon went, and he breaks the CDs, pays his penalty, and now he comes to Reuven and says, okay, I have the money, let's enter the business deal. Reuven says, there's no deal. So now Shimon says to Reuven, okay, there's no deal, but you should have to reimburse me for the loss that I took for paying the penalties for taking money out of the CD before maturity. What's the halacha? So again, Marash Alfandri says, Shimon can't make that claim. Because Shimon, before he did this act of taking the money out of the CDs, should have checked, is this a real deal? Is Reuven serious? Or is this just something that's not real? And therefore, since he didn't do the proper due diligence, he has no claim. That's the chiddush of the Gemara. Says the Mishnah, Amana Beimin and Erisin Beimin and Suin, and Amana, who is whether from the Erisin or the Nesuin, so she's an Erisin, she wants to collect her ksuba. If she's from the Suin, she wants to collect both Mezoinis or ksuba. The loch is Mecher Shlebe Bezdin. Could sell even not through Bezdin. Although, on Rishonim, and we'll work with this more in tomorrow's Shir Mitzvah Hashem, explained that even though she doesn't have to go through Bezdin to sell the assets of the Yosayimim, she does have to have three people evaluate the value. She can't just make her own decision. Rav Shimon Aymer, Minin Nesuin, if she's an Almana from the Nesuin, so she's selling assets of the Yosayimim for Mezoinis, Vir aloch is mecher shlevi bezdin. She could sell even without bezdin. However, min erisin, if she's an almana from erisin, so all she's selling for is only to get a ksuba payment, not mezoinus, because an almana from erisin is not entitled to mezoinus. Vir aloch is leitimka ela bezdin. That she has to do in bezdin. Nesh ein la mezoinus, because she's not entitled to mezoinus, and aloch is the kosh ein la mezoinus, if she's not entitled to Mezoinus, according to Rav Shimon, the halacha is leitimka el bebezdin. There's a machlokes rishonim in understanding Rav Shimon's opinion. According to Rav Shimon, an amanah min erisin always could only sell in bezdin. Amanah min suin, since she's selling for mezoinus, doesn't require bezdin. And the reason is very simple. Because till bezdin sells it, she'll starve. And it's also embarrassing. She needs the mezoinus. So therefore, for Mezoinus, everybody agrees she could sell right away. But the Rishonim discuss what will Rav Shimon hold if there's an Amana min Nesuin, but she's selling for the Ksuba. On one hand, Rav Shimon suggests, Rav Shimon only allows Mechira Shalai Bebezdin when it's for Mezoinus. But if you're selling for Ksuba, go to Bezdin. Other Rishonim say that since Rav Shimon holds that Amana min Nesuin is allowed to sell for the Mezoinus, Shloi Bebezdin. So once she's allowed to sell for the Mezoinah Shloi Bebezdin, we also allowed to sell for the Ksuvah Shloi Bebezdin. Says the Gemara, Bishloim Minasun, we understand Tanakama's opinion, why an Almana Minasun doesn't need Bezdin. Shemezoini, as we just explained a moment ago, she needs the Panasa. To wait till Bezdin sells it is difficult. However, the question asked the Gemara is, Elmina Erisin, my Tama. Why do the Rabbanan hold that Almana min Erisin, that she's only selling for the Ksuba, not need to go to Bezdin? Answers the Gemara, Am Ula Mishmachina. And as Machlaikus Rashi and Tosfos how to explain Mishmachina, we've had this previously on Daf Ayin Dalet. Rashi says Mishmachina is if a woman will recognize or realize that to sell, her, to get her mezainis, she's going to have to go through the embarrassment and the difficulty of going to Beis Din, she'll never want to get married. And we don't want that. So that's why Chazal said she could sell Shloi Beis Din. Tosfos says, the chinah is, we want to make it easy for the woman to get what she's entitled to, so she'll have more assets, and she'll be more attracted to be able to get remarried. We're dealing in Almana. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, the reason is, the fisher ain't Adam Reutzisch is Baza Ishta Bebezdin. A husband doesn't want his wife to have to go through the embarrassment of going to Beis Din to have to get what's entitled to her. And that's why the husband stipulates, it's self-understood that he's stipulating that she doesn't have to go to Beis Din. Ask the Gemara, my benayu, what's the difference between these two approaches? Answer the Gemara, Ikka benayu grusha. If the marriage terminated, not with his death, but rather with a divorce. L'mandam mishim chino, according to Mandam, that the concern is that we want women, Rashi's approach, that we want to make it attractive to women to get married. Grusha nami boichein. This woman also we want, she should be able to get remarried, or she want to get married. A person is concerned about the honor of his wife. That's on that we could say regarding a almana. Unfortunately, he died, but they had a wonderful marriage. Grusha, but this is a grusha. So he cares about her bizayin. Says the Gemara. Tanan, we're going to learn at the end of the next Mishnah the grusha leitimka el bezdin. A grusha. When she's selling the assets of Yisoyimim, should only sell it in Beis Din. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Manon Fishen Adam Reutzisch Baz Ishto Beis Din. According to the explanation that we just explained, that the reason why you can normally sell without Beis Din because a person doesn't want his wife to be embarrassed, Grushalayich Vesley. And that's why the Mishnah, the next Mishnah Paskins, the Grushalay Timkar Ella Beis Din. Ella asked the Gemara, Manon Mishmchina. According to Mandom that says that the reason is chino, so grusha nami baichein. So why does the Mishnah, the next Mishnah say the grusha leitimka el Beis Din? Answers the Gemara, ha mani, who is the man the omer of the next Mishnah? Says the Gemara of that next Mishnah, Rav Shimon. It's Rav Shimon, who Rav Shimon says that if somebody is selling for her ksuba payment, she always has to sell in Beis Din. A grusha, obviously, is not entitled to support. They divorced. There's no more support. The only thing she's entitled to is to ksuba. Rav Shimon in the Mishnah we just finished learning on the bottom of Amun Aleph holds that if you're selling for the ksuba alone, you have to sell in Beis Din. That's why that Mishnah says, grusha leitimka el Beis Din. Says the Rosh, our Gemara is assuming that a grusha never receives support. Says the Rosh, that's not actually true. Because the halacha is like this. Let's say a couple gets divorced. Until the husband finishes paying off the ksuba obligation, his wife gets supported. So why is the Gemara assuming, asked the Rosh, that this woman is not being supported, and therefore, according to Shimon, she has to sell in Beis Din, there may be a scenario where she is being supported, where the husband didn't finish paying the ksuba. Says the Rosh HaChiddush. The Rosh says that Al Pi Din, once they get divorced, he doesn't have to support her. Chazal instituted a rule that until she gets a ksuba payment, she should be supported. That'll be a guarantee that she gets her ksuba payment. But that rule is not so strong that it should require, that it should give her the right to sell Shlomo Ben Bezdin. Ask the Gemara, Rav Shimon, if we're saying that the next Mishnah represents the opinion of Rav Shimon, why do we need the Mishnah to say it? Hatana l'Reisha. We already learned in the Reisha, Mina Eris l'Timker. If she's only selling in order to get the Ksuba payment, she has no right. Answers the Gemara, Madu Tema, if we only had our Mishnah, we would say, Amana Mina Eris and Hudalai Nafishchein. And Amana, from Erison that doesn't have that much chayim, therefore doesn't have that much of a chayim issue. So there's a number of pshatim in Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says like this: if we have a woman who had amana min Erison, so they never consummated their relationship; they were never intimate. Therefore, such a woman has to sell in Bezdin. Aval, this is Rashi's approach. We'll tell Tosfos' approach in a minute. Av grusha. The nafish chayin dido, a grusha. Yes, the marriage ended in a divorce, but they once were really married and they were intimate with each other. Eimet abay chayin. So that's why I would say that she should be allowed to sell shloi bebezdin. That's why the Mishnah has to teach us the grusha leitimke el bebezdin. Taisus has a different approach. Taisus says that almana mina erison. We know that a ksuba typically has the mona masayim. And also Tosfos Ksuba. But if the marriage ends after only Erison, the Tosfos Ksuba is not paid. So we would suggest when there's no Tosfos Ksuba payment, so she could sell only in Bezdin. But in a situation where there's a Tosfos Ksuba payment, so since there's a large Ksuba, she should be allowed to sell it Shloim Bezdin. That's one pshat Tosfos says. But then Tosfos says another pshat that makes a lot of sense. Not that I'm judging pshatim. Tosfos says like this. You could argue just the opposite. A woman who's a almana has an easier time to get remarried than a woman who's a grusha. So perhaps since this woman is a grusha, and we know she's going to have difficulty in getting remarried, we should make it easier for her to get a ksuba, so she should be more attractive and make it, she should have money and make it easier for her to get remarried. And therefore the Gemara is suggesting that even Rav Shimon, who holds that Amonim and Erison can only sell for a ksuba payment in Bezdin, a grusha will say could sell shalai Bezdin because we're worried for her. We want to be able to help her get remarried. Says the Gemara, that's a wonderful argument. But that we already learned in our Mishnah also. Because if you look at our Mishnah in Rav Shimon's opinion is very redundant. The Mishnah says, Ramnesha Enla Mazinus, the kosh ein la mezaynus leitimka al bezdin. So those last phrases of the Mishnah of a kosh ein la mezaynus leitimka al bezdin is really a repetition. What is that coming to teach us? Hanamitanina, because we learned at the end of the Mishnah kosh ein la mezaynus. What are those words coming to teach us? Lasui mai, lav lasui grusha. Isn't that coming to teach us the case of a grusha? So if it's teaching us the case of a grusha, so if Shimon already taught us that a grusha could only sell in bezdin. So how can we suggest that the next Mishnah is again telling us of Shimon's opinion? He already taught it to us. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah is coming to teach us a different case. Lasuya Megereshes V'Eina Megereshes K'Rav Zeira. And this is the way the Tosfos Rosh and Rashi explain this Gemara. I should say Rashi and the Tosfos Rosh. We know that when somebody divorces his wife, he has to give her a get. Doesn't have to necessarily give it in a hand. That's the right way. But if he puts it within a proximity, it's also a get. But the Gemara many times, Masech, the Gittin, Kedushin, discusses a situation where a get is thrown to the wife, but it's not clear who was it closer to, the husband or the wife. That woman is a woman in limbo. She's called Megureshes, Vein Megureshes. Says the Tosfos HaRosh, a very big Chiddush. Let's say we'll have a woman who was only in Arusa. And we know, we learned earlier in our Masechta, that a husband doesn't have to support his wife who's an Arusa. That's only if she's an Arusa or they're divorced. But let's say we have a situation where one divorced his Arusa, but we don't know if the get was effective or not. The case that we just described, where he threw the get and we're not sure it's effective. Where she's Mugureshes, the ain't Mugureshes. There the husband has to continue supporting his wife. Why? Not continue. Now he has to start supporting her, actually. Till now she was only an arusa. Because she's tied to him. She can't get married to someone else, because maybe she's still an Eishes Ish. So therefore, Chazal said she has to be supported. Teaches us the Mishnah, as Rashi explains, that this woman, who was an arusa, and then fell into the category of Mugureshes, the Ein Mugureshes, gets supported from the husband. But that support only lasts until the husband dies. Once the Arus dies, she's certainly not married, because either she's a Mugureshes or she's an Amana. And the Yisoymim don't have to support her. So all she's entitled to is a Ksuba payment. And that's what the Mishnah tells us, that woman, since she's, according to Shimon, only entitled to a Ksuba payment, has to sell in a Bezdin. But we're now referring to a typical Mugureshes. The typical Mugureshes, where will Rav Shimon teach us, has to sell only in Bezdin? That's the next Mishnah, V'grush Leitav Gel V'Bezdin. Now we'll learn it inside. L'suya V'Gureshes V'Ein Mugureshes, K'rev Zeyra, Darav Zeyra. Come up with Shammah V'Gureshes V'Ein Mugureshes. If a woman falls into the category of Mugureshes V'Ein Mugureshes, Baal, her husband, even though he's an Oris, Chayim is in a cell. And therefore, the Mishnah is teaching us that only applies until he dies. Once he dies, he's not chayiv in the mezainis, so she's only entitled to ksuba, and therefore she sells it only in bezdin. So we still have our shaila. Tashma, k'shein shemecher shla bebezdin. Just like, what is the reason that she could sell chutz lebezdin, according to the rabbonim? Says the Marat Tashma, the Brisa says, k'shein shemecher shla bebezdin, just like she could sell shla bebezdin, kach yorsher yorshi ksuba meichun shla bebezdin. Says the Gemara. A person doesn't want his wife to be embarrassed. So just like he doesn't want his wife embarrassed, he doesn't want his Yarshim embarrassed, and therefore they don't either have to sell it in Bezdin. That the reason is that we, like we explained earlier, that we do for the benefit of women. Yosher, my chenika. What kind of chen is there by Yarshim? There's no issue of getting remarried. Answers the Gemara, Tirgma Ula, Kigan Shirshta Bita Achaisa. This wife died, and her Yarshim, who are collecting her ksuba, are women. And our concern, as Rashi teaches us, is they were always anxious to make sure that women should want to get married. And therefore, the reason of chen applies. So both reasons apply, and the Gemara has not been able to prove conclusively what is the reason, according to Rabbanan, she sells Shloi Bebezdin. Is it because of Chinah, or is it because Kadesh Shloi Tzbaza Bebezdin?